Well, it is so good to see you, so good to be with you again. My memory is pretty good still, but I have a tough time getting days and dates straight. Best I recall, it was 45 years ago this weekend, first time I stood here to preach to you. I was 22 years old, I believe. That made you about 14, Brad. But a long time ago. And God has graciously interwoven our lives with yours, the ministry of this congregation and my own, our ministry in Danville, together in so very, very many ways. I want us to read tonight from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13 and go through the end of chapter 5. And I'm not going to make much comment. I just want to read this portion of Scripture in which God the Holy Ghost sets before us an inspiring hope. An inspiring hope. A hope that ought to inspire us to devotion, consecration to our Redeemer, faithfulness in His cause, faithfulness to one another, and fervency as we walk before God in this world, seeking to build His kingdom and honor His name by the gospel we preach. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Our dear brothers and sisters in Christ, whom the Lord has taken before us, their bodies sleep in the grave. But don't ever get the idea that somehow or another they have ceased to exist, or that they're just floating around on clouds in some kind of an atmospheric condition waiting for the resurrection. Nothing could be further from the truth. They are with Christ at the right hand of God, enthroned in heaven with the church of God triumphant. The other day, Shub and I were sitting at the table after eating lunch. And we had a few minutes to just sit there and muse over some things before I went back to work, and she did too. And I said to her, I wonder what they're doing now, referring to some of our friends whom the Lord's taken to glory. Let me tell you one thing I know they're doing. They are continuing to this day to walk with Christ, in love with Him and with one another, in the sweet joy of the Holy Ghost, doing the will of God. What could be better? Walking together in the sweet love of Christ, loving one another, in the joy of God the Holy Ghost, with no burden, no fear, no irksome task, serving the Lord with delight. Sorrow not then concerning those whom the Lord's taken to glory, even as others which have no hope. That is, folks who bury their dead who've gone to hell, and others who see their dead ones perish and they have no hope. No wonder they act like madmen. Don't you behave that way. Here's the reason. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we do, don't we? Christ Jesus died, and having died to satisfy the justice of God for us, He rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Now this is hard for us to grasp. Listen carefully. We tend to think that God's saints in the Old Testament, back in those days you just read about in Genesis 7, they had a little bit of a foggy notion about what was going on and how God was going to save sinners. Listen to what the Scripture says. Enoch, that was before the flood, Enoch prophesied of Christ's second coming, saying He's coming again with 10,000s of His saints. Enoch prophesied concerning those who now sleep with the Lord Jesus, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Peter, James, and John, they're now asleep in the grave, but they walk with Christ in glory. And when he comes again, he's coming with them, with 10,000s of his saints. Read what Paul says here. For this we say by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, shall not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I've studied that, read that, mulled it over, meditated on it, rejoiced in it, scratched my head about it. And I don't have any idea what all's included in this. But when Christ comes at the glorious second advent, his saints will rise from the grave and body and soul be joined together as they come to this earth. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now forget about all the stuff you have heard about in this day of prophecy, insane mania. Everybody, every time something happens different in the Soviet Union or in the Far East, and somebody writes a book and sells a million copies and says, this is it, the Lord's coming, the temple's being rebuilt. This is our Lord. There's no such thing as a secret rapture or a secret second coming of Christ. Our Lord is on his way now and soon shall appear. And you and I ought to serve him every day we live on the tiptoe of faith. This is it. This is the day the Lord comes. Behold, he cometh. Now, look at verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Cheer one another. Comfort one another. Make each other feel good. Make each other feel cheerful. Make one another have a little spring in your step. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Christ is coming, and to the unbelieving, he will come as a thief in the night. Nobody suspecting he's really, sure enough, coming. There's really such a thing as judgment and eternity, and we're about to meet God. The unbelieving in darkness. But read what it says, verse 4. But ye, brethren, you who are believers, you are born of God and taught of God, you're not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. There's nothing surprising about this to you who believe. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Live like men and women who live in the immediate prospect of eternity. Watch and be sober. Live like men and women who live in the immediate anticipation of eternity. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Here's the inspiration for this. This breastplate of faith and love and this helmet, this hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. He did multitudes. There are vessels of wrath as well as vessels of mercy. There are a reprobate host as well as an elect host. But God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Who died for us. Why did he do that? That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Christ died for us that he might redeem unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. He died for us that we henceforth live not unto ourselves, but unto him that loved us and gave himself for us. What a reasonable thing. What a reasonable expectation. I just read a little bit ago and thought about dealing with the 20th chapter of Exodus in this reading tonight. But the Lord God gives a claim to the children of Israel in Exodus 20 before he gave the law of the Ten Commandments. He said, I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of Egypt. This is the claim God Almighty has on you. This is the claim God Almighty has on me. I'm God and I redeemed you. I'm God and I bought you. I'm God and I chose you. I'm God and I ransomed you. I'm God and I called you. Now, you're mine. That we should henceforth live with him and unto him. All right, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Build one another up. I could spend an hour or 20 here. Don't tear each other down, beat each other up. Don't deride one another, build each other up. Don't slander one another, build each other up. Don't talk about one another, build each other up. Even as also you do. What a testimony to these saints at Thessalonica. You edify each other. And we beseech you to know them which labor among you. Now he's talking to local church, any local church, every local church, everywhere where God is worshipped, Christ is honored, God's gospel is preached. Know them which labor among you. We've talked a good bit about some memories we've had together in our time, Brother Scott, and his labor here as your pastor. Now these many years now, Brother Marvin been laboring here as your pastor. This is what preachers do, faithful men. They labor in the word and in the doctrine. Brother Todd and I be right there. I know everywhere I can get him, anytime, 5 days a week, in his office. I would be disappointed if I couldn't. I'd be disappointed. I know where I can call your pastor. Right here he is. They labor in the word and in the doctrine. Know them and know their labor. Know their labor. I recall several months ago, sometimes fellas catch me on a good day when I'm less inclined to hit them. And I had some work to do, and a fellow was there who's just yakking, running off the mouth like fellas do. Had some work to do on my car. And finally, he got it out of me that I was a preacher. He said, that's an easy job, isn't it? And I just smiled. I said, yeah, if you can get it. He didn't really hear what I was saying inside. Oh. But I would expect that from folks who don't know. God's servants labor in the word. They labor in the prayer. They labor in the study. They labor in preparation. They carry the work heavy on their hearts. Know them and are over you. That's a word that's not much used with regard to preachers in this day. They're over you. It's stated repeatedly. They're over you as a shepherd is over the sheep. Well, he's just one more voice in the church. No, he ain't. He's the pastor. He's the pastor. He's the captain of the ship. He's responsible for sailing the ship. Pay attention to him and follow him. Who are over you in the Lord. Read what he says here. And admonish you. They teach you. Now look what he says. Love them, know them, and esteem them very highly. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Well, I'm not going to preach, put a preacher on a pedestal. Maybe you should. I'd rethink that if I were you. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And I'll tell you what will be the result. To Katy Baptist Church in Fairmont, West Virginia. Grace Baptist Church in Danville, Kentucky. A Grace Baptist Church in Dingus, West Virginia. Dodge Road Grace Church in Lexington, Kentucky. I'll tell you what, here's the result. Esteem, know them, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. I'll tell you what I've never observed. I've been pastoring now for nearly 50 years, but I've been preaching the gospel for 50 years. I'll tell you what I've never observed anywhere I've ever been. I've never seen a congregation in turmoil and chaos who loved, admired, and promoted the ministry of their pastor. You've been around a while, Todd, have you? I've never seen it happen. God uses his people as they rally together around the man he gives them as the angel of his church, and they are at peace among themselves. Sadly, lots of places, folks come around who like to have roast pastor every Sunday afternoon for lunch, and he can't say, do anything that's right. So somebody got to carp about it. Next time somebody got to carp about what the pastor does or says, just tell them to politely shut up. I'm as honest as I can be. I don't want to hear that nonsense. Didn't you hear anything about what he was preaching? Don't behave like that. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Those folks are constantly causing trouble. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Revenge and spite and malice. Put that stuff. That's childish nonsense. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now look at these next words. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. Be at ease all the time. Let your gentle disposition, your gentle ease of mind, your gentle character, your unruffled nature, let it be known to all men. No reason anything should bother you too much. No reason anything should disturb you very much. The Lord's at hand. The Lord's at hand. And the word really carries this idea. He's God at your elbow. He's God at your elbow. I just told Sarah and Jimmy's daughters supper tonight. I said, you girls know this. I'm here for you anytime. You can call me anytime, day or night. I'm here for you. Please don't hesitate to do that. I've said it to many of you young people. I'm here for you. But that's nothing. That's nothing. Christ is God at your elbow if you're his. Ready always to help in every time of need. So rejoice. Be at ease. Let your moderation be known to all men. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean to pray an hour a day or to pray 23 hours out of 24. It means to live continually calling upon God. Continually trusting the Redeemer. Continually seeking to know Him, His will, His way, His providence, His goodness, His mercy, knowing Him. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. It hadn't been long since God saved me, and I was going through some, what I thought at the time were real troubles. I was about 17 years old. And 17-year-old can't have many real bad problems, but I thought the world was coming to an end. And I came to this verse of Scripture, reading the Scripture one day, and oh, how good it's been for me to go to it often. In everything, give thanks for this. What's that? This. Whatever it is that is now. This. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus, specifically concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Pay attention to the direction, the leading of God's Spirit. hear God's word. Despise not prophesyings. That is, don't despise the worship of God. Maybe read that way. More likely in the context, it would be proper to read, don't despise the preaching of the gospel. Don't despise hearing God speak by his servant through his word to you. Don't despise. Don't count that a light thing. Don't count that as something you can do with or do without. Don't count that as something that's really insignificant. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Take the scriptures. I've said some things tonight that I know, especially for you folks who may be here, don't normally sit under the sound of a faithful ministry. Boy, that sure doesn't sound like anything I've ever heard before. Well, prove it. Just everything I've said, you pick up this book. And if you find anything in this book contrary to it, would you please let me know? I promise you I'll apologize. If you find anything I've said contrary to what this book says, prove what you hear by this word. Prove the doctrine, whether it's of God. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now this is good enough counsel for young folks and old alike. You see something, you're kind of tempted to do that. So, I don't know whether I'll do that. I've got a pretty good hunch. If I think, I'm not sure whether I'll do that or not, you're dead sure you ought not to. You're dead sure you ought not to. But that's not what this is talking about. Anything that has the appearance of free will works religion. Anything that has the appearance of anything contrary to the gospel of God's free grace. Anything that has the appearance of lifting up and exalting the flesh and debasing God, bringing him down to your level. You abstain from that. Read on. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Sanctify you. Sanctification is not a progressive work, but it is a continual work. God in his great mercy, grace, and peace continually makes us a people separate to himself. I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why would Paul pray for something that he knows can't be? Why was he inspired of God to tell us he prays for something he knows it can never come to pass? He didn't. God will preserve you, spirit, soul, and body, blameless under the coming of Jesus Christ, so that God Almighty accepts our works through his Son and preserves us in his Son. How do you know? Look at verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Oh my. Just read that just as broad and stretch it just as far and run with it just as great a distance as your mind's imagination will allow you. Whatever trial God calls you to go through, whatever task he sets before you, whatever work he has for you, this pilgrimage he's called you to walk in through this world. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. This is his work, his doing. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for one another. Pray for me. Pray for me. Oh, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. And greet the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, I'd just as soon you fellows not come up here and start kissing on me. Ladies, it'd be all right, but not you, me. Not you, me. What's he talking about? Greet one another in the arms of sacred love and devotion. In the arms of sacred love and devotion. I charge you by the Lord Jesus that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Our God. Oh God, our Savior, how we thank you for the privilege of calling you our Father, of calling your darling Son our Savior, our Redeemer, of calling your Spirit our blessed Comforter. Thank you for your word, for your grace, for the free forgiveness of sin through the precious blood of your darling Son. And our sin we confess to you. All the things we've been challenged to in this portion of your word, how utterly miserable we are in failure, how prone to unbelief, how horribly inclined to every evil, to every sensual thing, and how horribly disinclined to every good and every spiritual thing. How quick to murmur and complain. How slow to believe and rejoice and be comforted. And we ask our God that you will be pleased, as only you can, by your grace, by your Spirit, to continually sanctify us, body, soul, and spirit. Continually draw us apart from this dark, dark world and set our hearts upon our altogether lovely Redeemer. Set our hearts to your heart. As you are utterly devoted to us, oh God, utterly devote us to you. I thank you for this assembly, for these dear brothers and sisters in Christ, these faithful pastors. God bless them. Use them. To our dying breath, make us faithful brethren, laboring together in the cause of our Redeemer. Amen.